And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." In the name of Jesus, amen. It's Transfiguration Sunday. I said that already. The last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, that season sandwiched between the Christmas season and Lent, when through the readings and the stories of Jesus, we're supposed to be led to have this epiphany, this discovery of just who Jesus, the Son of Mary, the one whom shepherds greet and of whom angels sing, just who he is. And so way back at the beginning of Epiphany, we had Jesus at the Jordan and dove descending on him, the Father's booming voice, "This is my Son." We had Jesus, the Lamb of God, walking along the side of the Jordan, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We had him as the defier of demons, and then as the one who, in the gutters through it all, is making us to become fishers of men. And now today, last Sunday in Epiphany, Transfiguration. Big day in the church here. Big enough for special music and the traditional Transfiguration food, which is chili. No, just kidding. It's starting today. It is. It's a big day. We splurge an extra 13 cents or so on the bulletins to print them in color. Big day, and also kind of weird. Weird as in, like, what in the world actually went down up on that mountain? Jesus transfigured. Metamorpheo is the Greek word. He was morphed into something different. Bleeds light, intensely white. No one on earth could bleach these clothes. And in one of his letters, Peter, who was there to see it all with James and John, simply says, "We were eyewitnesses to his majesty." Literally, we saw his bigness. A real, "you should have been there" moment. But of course, we weren't. That bulletin picture, since we're printing them in color, I figured you might as well put a couple color pictures in there. You have the top half of Raphael's Transfiguration, the great 16th century painter, the last of his paintings. And since no one was there to see it, Raphael, he adds a detail. He has Jesus floating up in the air, which isn't actually in the Bible, but since we weren't there, why not add what you want? It's actually that "we weren't there"-ness that struck me most this week in thinking about the transfiguration and the weirdness. Actually struck me to think that it's not just a weirdness, but a kind of a cruel weirdness. An almost cruel weirdness that attaches to a lot of the other, "oh, if we'd only been there" sort of scenes in the Bible, but maybe especially to this one, where Jesus just shines in all his glory and his power and his goodness and his control. Cruel in that it's exactly that, Jesus, that we don't see, that we don't experience that. It's like, you know, Peter, James, and John, they're, of course, your Facebook friends, and they're up there on the mountain and ripped out their phones to take a couple pics of this when Jesus was shining up there on the mountain, and on the way down, they post a quick, "look what I saw today. Never guess who we hung out with today." They see a glorious Jesus with the OG Moses and Elijah filled with joy. What do you see? You see the dishes? Instead of OG Moses, maybe it's a B.O. Bill from accounting. You wish he wasn't there. It kind of stinks. Instead of filled with joy, maybe a little sad. Now, we don't see the transfigured Jesus. The most we get is a faded Jesus, if we experience him at all. It's like this beautiful window up here. Stained glass window, and Jesus plays a center role there. He's right in the middle, and you can see him. You can see him when it's light outside. You can see the light. And actually, at certain times of day, because our church faces almost exactly due west, when the sun is setting certain times of year, and it gets a little lower in the sky, and the sun comes through that window, Jesus just shines Much more so even than now, that little thing around his head, it's called a nimbus. If you stand at the right place in the church, you almost have to shield your eyes. It's so bright. Jesus just shines and shines, as bright as can be. But then a funny thing happens. If you stick around, and as the sun fades, the sun goes lower in the sky. And because unlike some stained glass windows, our stained glass window is not backlit, Jesus literally fades. He goes away. If you happen to be here 6-7 o'clock this time of year, actually you can experience this. Come on Ash Wednesday in the 5 evening prayer services the following Wednesdays. It's about this time. You might actually experience that in church. You might actually see Jesus go from being bright to fading to going dark, so you can hardly even see Jesus at all. And if you do, you can imagine it now, or if you come to those services even better, you might think to yourself, you know what? That's kind of how I feel. Maybe it's a little bit of what transfiguration might make you feel. At least kind of makes me feel. Gives me a little bit of a sense of spiritual FOMO. Missed out on that one. I know there's a shiny Jesus. But in my life, that's not what I see. In my life, at best, it's a faded Jesus. In my life, a lot of times, I really have to squint even to see him, to wonder what in the world he is even up to. I think that's why I like that other painting in your bulletin, the one towards the back, which is not a Raphael. It's a Mike Moyers, not quite a Raphael. Only thing I know about Mike Moyers is that when you Google Transfiguration art, his pops up, and he was kind enough to give permission to print it in the bulletin. But I like it because Jesus there in the center with these kind of abstract figures, Moses and Elijah there, they're shiny. They're all aglow in the light. But Peter, James, and John, they're positively in the dark. Because I think that really is where a lot of us, if not most of us, find ourselves a lot of the time. I mean, maybe for some of you this morning, I hope it's the case, for some of you this morning, this moment, or maybe this season in your life, is the one where you feel absolutely closest to Jesus. That maybe not on the Mount of Transfiguration, but things are shiny and bright, and you know, and you experience his presence, and it's warm, you can feel the light on your body. And if that is the case, wonderful, but I'm pretty sure it's not the case for all of us. I know it's not the case for me, for example. There have been times in my life when Jesus felt closer to me than he does now. When if not on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that close to the glory and power and majesty of Jesus, I certainly kind of felt it. At least more than I do now. And I'm pretty sure that's not me who is alone in that experience of kind of feeling a faded Jesus. So much sometimes you kind of have to squint and really wonder if he's there at all. And I know I'm not alone in that. For many of us, the Jesus we most seem to see and experience is the post-sunset in the stained glass window Jesus, more than the brilliant, shiny one you can hardly see Jesus. And if that is the case, does that mean that you are a bad Christian? Or that you are less of a Christian than you were when Jesus was all shiny? Or that your faith has shrunk since that time? No. In fact, it might just mean that your faith, if for no other reason than but necessity, has grown larger. You may have heard that quote somewhere along the way. Faith sees best in the dark. You ever heard that? Faith sees best in the dark. Soren Kierkegaard wrote it in the 19th century. But the first time I heard it was from Joe Biden on the Stephen Colbert show some years ago. I actually heard it in a clip later. I don't stay up that late to watch Stephen Colbert. But the then vice president was talking about the time following the death of his son, Bo. It's actually the second child he lost in his life. And how his wife, Jill, had written those words on a card. Faith sees best in the dark. Had written those words on a card and stuck them in the bathroom mirror in the corner so that every morning Joe, her husband, feeling not very shiny, wondering where in the world God might be, might see those words. Faith sees best in the dark. When there's no shiny Jesus, when you can hardly make him out, when at best you can just make out the outline of a faded Jesus. Faith still sees. Faith sees best in the dark. Or, if Soren Kierkegaard had been a better Lutheran than he was, instead of saying faith sees best in the dark, he would have said faith hears best in the dark. For finally, when things are the darkest and Jesus seems most faded and we are in the deepest valleys, there might not be anything to see at all. Which is exactly why the Father, why Jesus' Father on that Mount of Transfiguration, as Jesus is fading and the light is going away, doesn't finally speak and say to the disciples, I hope you saw that. Doesn't say, I hope you got your phone out in time so you can post that. Doesn't say, emblazon that image on your memory. No, what does he say? He says, this is my beloved Son. Listen. Listen to him. As the light fades, listen to him. As if to say, the vision is for now. It will fade. It will be again. But when you wonder and you ask questions, when instead of a shiny Jesus, you see the dishes, or worse, instead of the odor of heaven, you smell Bill or whatever else stinks in this world, then listen to him. Keep listening. Hold on to his promise. Listen to him. I am with you even through the valley of the shadow of death. When it gets dark, as Luther says somewhere, stick your eyes in your ears. Stick your Augen in your Ohren. When your eyes see only darkness, open your ears and listen to Jesus. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When you are tired out from all the stuff your eyes see all around, stick your eyes in your ears and listen to Jesus. Come to me, all you weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you look at your life and wonder if you've done a mess and see all that you've made a mess of, stick your Augen in your Ohren and listen to Jesus from the cross. Father, forgive them. It is finished. When your eyes see death and you look on yet another dreadful little box that looks so final, open your ears and listen to Jesus. My love is stronger than death. I make all things new. I am the resurrection and the life. Your child will live again. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. And is that everything? Is it good? Yeah. But is it everything? No. You might have thought I was going to end the sermon with that little rousing, listen to him. But no, it's not everything, is it? Is it as good as face to face with Jesus in his glory and his majesty and bleeding light and mercy so real you can feel it on your skin? Nope. Does that make us a little sad? Yep. Does me. In fact, I'm pretty sure that being a Christian at all means being a little sad all the time. And it's okay to be sad. If you're a parent, you probably had opportunity to say that to your child once in a while. You know, it's okay to be sad. And maybe we Christians should get accustomed to saying things like that a little more often to one another. Say, you know what? It's okay to be sad. Because you and me and so much hurt in this messed up world, and it's not the mountaintop yet. Tell each other it's okay to be a little sad with the kind of longing sadness that sits and listens and holds on to Jesus' promises with a faith that sees best in the dark, sitting and listening inside a community of other people who are a little sad, but with sitting and listening with a little bit sad, but with a lot of hope. Because you know what happens to this beautiful window? If you sit here at 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock at night and Jesus fades and it goes dark, and if you were to sit here all night and you were not to go away, you know what would happen and not give up hope? The sun would rise. And Jesus, literally, will shine again. And so why a little sad but a lot of hope? Because though it gets dark, friends, morning is coming. Because though tears may tarry for the night, joy comes in the morning. Because the very last thing in the Bible that Jesus tells us to listen to is this, is I am coming soon. Because Jesus is coming, and when he does, no more sadness, and no more FOMO, and a Moses, and Elijah, and all those whose absence makes us more than a little sad right now, and no more darkness, and a sun that never sets, and only light, and your Jesus bleeding love and shining with ever brighter mercy and always fuller joys and eternally crescendoing alleluias that never, ever, ever fade. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.